Well, God bless you and welcome to another fellowship. This is April the 5th, it's Thursday, 2018. I just had a wonderful time in Germany with the wonderful believers there. We had great fellowship, great time together, and we had time of prayers. We had time of discussing different things, the direction that God's working in all of our hearts. We spoke about our ministries in our different countries, Finland, Germany, and UK, and also other places that God is opening the doors, and God is a mighty God. And when we make a commitment to live for God, then we need to go to Him, because He's going to do great and mighty things by you. And God really wants to bless your life. He's for you, He's with you, and this year great things are going to happen. And the way we know this is by faith. And what God puts in our hearts, that's what we declare with our mouth. That's what we speak. What you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth will come to pass, negative or positive. Because God has set this principle up for believer and unbeliever. And once we commit our lives to God and we decide to live unto Him, then we need to find out what God wants us to have, what God wants us to do, what's His calling in our life. He has a plan and a purpose specifically and catered to every single one of us. And I was sharing in the fellowship here tonight about we're in partnership with God. Okay, we are fellow laborers together with God. God is the boss, Jesus Christ is the CEO, and we're the fellow laborers. We just say yes to the work that God's given us to do, and then we go about doing it. And it's like if anyone has a job, if they work in a business, you have an employer, and you have a supervisor, they give you instructions what to do, and when you do it, you're enjoying your job gets done, you get your wages, you get blessed. And God really wants to bless you. And once you've made up your mind to live unto God, that your life is for Him, then what God wants you to do is find out what He wants you to do. We can do that in a couple of ways. Number one, we can go to God in prayer. We can seek His heart through our fellowship and relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And also with the fellowships of the brothers and sisters in Christ, we can find our directions, because God is working in each person both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so God is inspiring other people to speak into our lives. And what we speak into each other's life is the word of faith, is the words of encouragement. God is a God of encouragement. He's not speaking negatives, worries, or fears. He's not speaking the world and what's going on in the world into our ears. But He says, say what you want to see. Okay, we can change our counties. We can change our cities. We can change our countries by prophesying what God puts in our hearts to speak forth as He works in our heart, as we know what God says. And prophets in the old days, they would go with the message of God in their mouth and they would declare it was either to judge a nation or to set them free or to give them direction. And today God is giving direction. And when we're trusting the living God, we know that He's going to give us the perfect direction, and that we don't have to worry whether we got the finances, whether we've got the people, because God provides everything in Christ for us that we need so that we can move forward. Now, I've done a couple of videos before about how to receive from God. The first thing we need to do, we need to know what is available from God. And I also done another teaching is, how do we receive from God, which is believing. To receive anything from God requires us to believe. And it says in the Word of God that all the promises of God in yes and amen. See, God is not a man that He should lie, neither is he the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He not said it, and shall He not make it good? Everything in the Word of God that's promised to us today, when we believe it, God makes it come good. But we got to put it in our heart, and we got to say it with our mouth, and then we can receive from the one true Most High God. He is faithful to His word. He watches over His word to perform it. And so God is with you and God is for you, and how you receive from God is by believing. But we also need to know another thing, which I'm going to share on tonight. We need to know what is to do with what we've received from God. We find out what's available. We find out how to receive it, which is by faith. To receive anything from God is by faith. Now we need to know what to do with what we received. So we need to recognize, number one, our need and our desire to go to God strongly for our need to be met. If you have a need now, you need to go to God and you need to desire to Him strongly. And then the next thing is that we don't focus on the circumstances. We focus on God and His promise to us. We focus on God's ability, because God's ability equals His willingness. God is not only able to meet your need, God is willing to meet your need. And once you know that, once you know that, we, lots of people know God is able to do things, but a lot of people don't realize that God is willing to do the things for you. So what do you desire? Okay, when you make a commitment to God, when you decide to believe God, there is nothing that He is going to withhold from you. In fact, it says in the Word that God will not withhold anything to them that walk uprightly. Okay, God is for you, and He's working all things together for your good, because you love Him and you're called by Him. So now listen, don't focus on your circumstances. Don't focus on your situation. Don't focus on your problem. I need to do this because of this. That's not faith. That's analyzing the situation. And so when we're believing God, we don't consider any other thing. If God says A, we don't start thinking about B, C, or D, or E. But we focus solely upon A. We don't even let any thoughts or anything determine us from A. If God says something, that's what He means. That's what He says. That's what He's going to do. That's what we receive when we believe. So now what do we do after we receive what is available from God? So we're going to have a look at some records as an example, just to show us what we do once we know what's available and we've received it because we believe God. Okay, that's the second point. Now what do we do with it? So for an example, after God has prospered you, God wants you to cheerfully give back to God out of your heart because He's prospered you. And we're going to look at some of the records in God's Word about giving. This is one example, then we're going to go to some other examples, but we'll start off in this one. So you become a born-again believer. You recognize that everything that you have is what God's given you anyway, regardless if you've gone to college and studied, regardless of what you've done to get the job. God has given you health, He's given you strength, He's given you the opportunities and open doors to be in the place that you are, and you can now honor God with your substance because God wants you to give. And the reason why God wants you to give, so that He can bless you, so that you can be a blessing, and also so that the needs in the body of Christ are met, that the people that feed and teach you the words, their needs are met. And there's also other needs within the body of Christ that also need to be taken care of after we've done the initial giving, to where we're being fed the word of God, to where we're being encouraged. Who's encouraging you? That's where we should give. And Paul gave some wonderful instructions to believers about giving, and then we're going to look at some Old Testament records about the benefits of giving. See, with God, there's many, many benefits. And when we apply His principles with faith, without wavering, without doubting, without wondering, you know, well, do I do this or do I not do this? We just believe the word of God. When we do it in faith, trusting like a child, childlike faith, knowing what the word of God says, and we just simply obey God from the heart because we know that He is our provider, then great blessings will come to you. And God wants you to prosper, and He wants you to have a good journey through life. He wants you to have great health. He wants you to be successful at whatever level in life you are at. He is with you and He is for you. So in 1 Corinthians, I'd like you to take your Bible to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 16, and we're going to just look at a few records here about giving and what to do with after God has blessed us, when we've received from God. So you might have been in a situation where you had a financial need, and you've gone to God, and God has either prospered you with a really great job, or someone's blessed you with something. The first thing that we should do is set aside a portion to give back to God. Now, God obviously can't take your money because He's spirit, but He wants you to give, and you give where it's going to help move His word. And this is so so important, and a lot of people fall down on this one thing all the time, and they wonder why they don't prosper, and they wonder why things ain't flowing for them. Because when we give, it's also an act of worship. It's not just a point of giving, it's an act of worship, it's an act of trust, it's an act of thankful, being thankful for what God has done for us, and it's expression of our faith and love. And your faith needs a point of contact, and also when you give, your faith is given a point of contact, because you're releasing and you're saying, God, I honor you, I love you, and I'm gonna give. And he will bless you abundantly. So in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. So Paul, as an overseer of believers, he encouraged people to give, and he gave them some instructions about giving. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So Paul's saying, look, on the first day, it's just an instruction for them. Whatever you receive, then you put a portion of what you want to give to the side. And some people get paid monthly, they don't get paid daily or weekly now. Some people might do. Okay, but God's saying, whatever you receive, you put a portion of what God's worked in your heart to give to the side. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through to 8, it says, but this I say. So Paul's encouraging the believers to give generously, because God has given generously to us. He which soweth sparingly, and this word sparingly is stingily. He which soweth sparingly or stingily shall reap also sparingly or stingily. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Okay, so God wants you to give with a cheerful heart. He wants you to give with a free heart. And he doesn't want you to do it grudgingly, sparingly, withholding. But he wants you to give in faith. And you give what is in your heart to give. You go to God. You pray to God. Father, thank you for blessing me with this abundance I got here. What do you want me to give? And then as God works in your heart to give, that's what you give. Verse 7 says, every man according as his purpose in his heart. You decide with God what you're going to give, and then you give it with a whole heart. So let him give, not grudgingly. Oh God, I got to give this because the minister said so. No, it's because God wants you to do that for your blessing. Okay? Or of necessity, or of a need. God doesn't want you to give out of a need. Okay? For God loveth a cheerful giver. And this word cheerful can mean hilarious. No, in other words, there's no restraints in your giving. You're just, yeah, take it, because I know God is my sufficiency. I know God's going to supply me. So there's some wonderful instruction there, and with the heart also to do it. And in verse 8 it says, and God is able to make all grace, favor, abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, God is your sufficiency, not your job, not any other avenue is your sufficiency. God alone is your sufficiency, and he can take care of you, and he can provide for you when you go to him, when you believe, and also when you honor him, when you give of yourself, when you give of your resources that God has blessed you with, so that you can receive more. Just like a farmer, he gets seed, he sows the seed, he gets crops in, and he's got more seed. Okay, he's got an abundance. And so from that seed, he put aside his seed. And at the time of sowing again, he will sow from that seed. If he uses all the seed that God has given him to give, then he's going to have nothing to harvest, right? He's going to have nothing to sow, and he's going to receive nothing back. And it says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and winter. So there's a time for giving, there's a time for sowing, and God has set this principle up, and it keeps the wheels in motion, and it keeps the person's needs met and the family's needs met and the Church of God's needs met. In Proverbs chapter 3, we can look at the Old Testament records and get great understanding about giving. And don't forget, God worked in Solomon to write these things also in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And it says here, and I just want to point out another thing. Don't forget, Solomon was one of the wisest men and the richest men in the world, because God had prospered him. God had given him great wisdom and he gave him great riches. If God didn't want you to be blessed, if he didn't want you to have money so that you could be a blessing, then why would he prosper Solomon, who didn't even ask him for anything? See, God wants you prosperous. He wants you blessed in every area of your life, especially in the areas of finances. And a lot of people say, oh no, here we go, prosperity gospel. This is not a prosperity gospel in the sense that we're in it to make money, but we're in it to see what God wants us to do. We're in it to find out how God would have us do the things. And when we find out how God will have us do the things and we utilize it, then we get the benefits of God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord. See, when you give, you're honoring the Lord with thy substance. Okay? And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the first fruits doesn't mean that you pay all your other bills and then God bless. The first fruits, that's an act of faith. That's an act of trust, that you're trusting God first. You're honoring him first because you trust him, because he supplied you. You're not doing it the last thing. Okay, so you just go to God, he'll show you what to give, you give from that, and he's going to bless you. And he's going to take care of your need. This is what the Word of God says. It's not what I'm making up. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When you got it to give, then you give it. And then you give it where God shows you to give it. And you give it to bless people, to keep God's people's needs met. And also don't forget the ministers that labor in the word to teach you what you're learning. And a lot of these ministers don't have jobs. They live completely unto God. And God wants them supplied because they've fed you. They've taken time. They've labored in the word. They've labored in prayer. And God wants you to take care of them. And he's going to bless you for doing that. And do you know what? Not only will he bless you for doing that, but you become a partaker of that person's ministry. Okay, a full partaker, because you're supporting what they're doing. And God's going to bless you tremendously. In Proverbs 18 and in verse 16, we read another wonderful record. And it says, a man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him before great men. And you should do a word study on the word gift here. Okay, if you think of Solomon, he was the wisest man, the richest man. He made wonderful judgments. He helped God's people. He helped the nations. And Queen Sheba heard about him. And when she came, she didn't only come to see Solomon, but she brought great riches with her to give to Solomon. Many spices, all these different things she brought with him. And in today's money, it amounted to millions, what she gave Solomon. And her giving opened the door for her to receive from Solomon the wisdom of God to bless her, because he seen her heart and giving, and she also honored God in a way, right? So your gift will make room for you, and God wants you to give, and God wants you to be a great giver, because why? God is the greatest giver, and you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And so when we do it with the right heart, with love, when you study the scriptures, when you see in the Old Testament about what God said about giving, then you'll see it's something that God really wants you to do. And it's an act of worship, it's an act of trust, and it prospers you. It prospers you, it blesses the men and women of God that stand for God, it blesses the people within the body of Christ. So this is something that we really need to do. It's not a gimmick to make money from people. This is real life, real living, and you need to put your faith in your money. You know, you need to put your money where your mouth is, basically. If you say you believe, then do. Okay, it's just like praying or anything like that. We need to do this, and we need to be faithful doing it. In Galatians chapter 6, again, more direction from God through Paul, saying about where we give. And it says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate, and that means to share fully, unto him that teacheth in all good things. It's not just about giving money, it's about you share fully in everything, alright? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then we're going to look at another record in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going through these pretty quickly because we're looking at other examples as well. But God just kind of put it in my heart to go through some of these records here about the giving. And that once we've received from God, then God does want us to honor him. And it's a consistent thing. It's a consistent turnover with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, it says, this is what Paul was saying. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, okay, so Paul ministered the Spirit to the people, he spoke by the Spirit, he gave them understanding in the scriptures and what Christ done, what Christ accomplished, he gave them the mystery, he gave the knowledge of the mystery, okay, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he revealed the things that God revealed to him by Jesus Christ to the people. And he says in 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Is it a great thing? Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul says, we could have really made the demand for you to give to us, but we didn't use that power that way, because we didn't want to hinder the gospel. And then in verse 13 says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? So the Levites, when the Levites were in the temple, they ministered unto God, people brought the tithes in, and the Levites lived off those tithes, and they tithe from those tithes. But when people stopped giving to the temple, if you read in the Old Testament record, then the Levites had to leave the work of God and go back to circular job to live. And then God raised up a king that put these things back in order, where people started bringing the tithes and the gifts to the Levites so that they could be about ministering in God's house. And that's what ministers do today. They minister in God's house, feeding God's people and encouraging them. And if for an example, if I was in a job right now, I wouldn't have the time to do the study that I do, the reading, the praying, the labors in prayer for people, the labor in the word to feed you, to encourage you, to bless you, for an example, okay? I wouldn't have that time. Maybe I wouldn't even have time to do the fellowship. I don't know. Okay, but God is faithful. But there's a lot of people that also teach and do work, okay, and they live part-time in that kind of sense. Okay, but God needs full-time ministers. He needs people that can live unto God. He needs people that are going to trust God to supply them. And God is faithful, and I'm witness that God is faithful. And when we do what God shows us to do, then we really bless. We really get blessed, and we really prosper. Not just you, but God prospers the whole body of Christ. If we all have the right heart and mind in giving, and then great things can happen. And the word of God needs finance. Like for me to record this on this right now, I got blessed with this camera so that I can record. It costs money. The camera costs money. Okay, the microphone costs money. So someone blessed me with this so that I could do the work of the ministry. This is available now that I can teach. I can put this on the website. I can put it on YouTube so that other people that may come across it get blessed and be led to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, money is a means to help us move the gospel of Christ. My website needs to be paid for. Now, praise the Lord, someone paid for this year's website, so that we can continue to make available what God's working in our hearts. So guys, we need your support. Ministers around the world need your support. And if you're getting blessed by the things that we're teaching you, then give. Be blessed. You're giving to God, not to me. It may come to me, but you're giving to God. You're honoring God. And God wants you to be really blessed. Okay, so it's a principle where you can come into a consistency of being supplied, not going from paycheck to paycheck, being blessed one month, the next month down, the next month blessed, the next month down. God wants to give you his continual supply. So where you're being encouraged, you should give. And you can also give outside of that as well. Okay, it's up to you. God works in your heart. You go to God. You pray, where do I give? And he'll direct your hearts. Okay? And then we read in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" Verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel." So that's just some really wonderful records. And also it says in Timothy, in the leadership epistles, that those that labor in the word are worthy of double honor. Okay, those that labor, spend time in prayer, in working the word of God, going to the scriptures, seeking God's heart for God to open those scriptures to them, and they labor in that word and they speak it forth, they're worthy of double honor. So after you receive the gift of Holy Spirit, God wants you to manifest this Holy Spirit. And God wants you to do it according to his word. So like for an example, Jesus Christ said in Acts 1:8 that the disciples were to wait for the promise of the Father. He said, "I'm going to send you the promise, the Holy Spirit to you." And then he told them to wait. And on the day of Pentecost, God poured out that Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't just receive the Holy Spirit, but they used the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They manifested that power. In the church, God wants us to do things decently in order. God is not the order of confusion. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, we read this. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So God has given us his Holy Spirit to manifest, and there's a profit, there's a benefit to the body of Christ and to the people present. And in 1 Corinthians 14:23 it says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" So having a fellowship here, okay, if people that have come in, they don't know the word of God, they haven't heard anything, and then someone speaks in tongues, somebody else stands up and prophesies, somebody else tries to interpret somebody else that has just spoken in tongues, that is disorder. And God is a God of order, and he'll have all things done orderly in the church so that people can be blessed and people can be edified. If I speak in tongues, I interpret. Okay, and we do it in order, by two or three, the word of God says, or more. Okay, if someone asks me to bring forward a word of prophecy, I bring forth that word of prophecy. We do things in order. We don't just stand up, maybe, if no one's leading the meeting, that I want to give a word of prophecy or speak in tongues and interpret. Someone else might want to do it at the same time. But God is working in each individual, and whoever's leading that meeting, whoever's overseeing that meeting, God are working him to show him what to do. And so God, and we know what the word of God says about these things. So there's no confusion. There's no people getting upset. There's no people saying that we're mad, because we're not mad. We're believers, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you may think we're mad, but that's fine. Okay, because the wisdom of God is foolishness to those that don't have the Spirit of God. Okay, so God wants us to know the proper way to utilize the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Everything in order. He wants us to know how to minister to people, how to minister that the power of God, to use our authority, to bring deliverance to those in darkness. He wants us to walk as his top men, because we're his top men and women. And God's working in you, and he'll give you the words wherever you are to speak to the people, to minister to the people in your situations, and he'll show you whether to speak by the Spirit or to use the word of God. But his word will always be backed up whatever you speak by the Spirit. So God has got everything covered. And when we just walk with God, when we start to know who we are in Christ, then we can start walking as sons and daughters of God of who we are. So it's just a really wonderful stuff. This is foundational stuff that I'm sharing. And I don't care if you've taken the foundational class a million times, or you've taken advanced classes, or you've gone to seminars or Bible college. Come back to the basics. Come back and keep your foundation strong. Okay, understand these things. I know many people that are seasoned in the Word have been blessed by me going back over these things. And I know that people that are believers but haven't been instructed, when they've come across these videos, have got very, very blessed. So what we're doing is important work for God. We're doing our part in the body of Christ as God has set us, and we're in partnership with God. We're fellow laborers together with God. God gives the direction. He works what's in our hearts, and we follow those things. And God really wants you to be blessed. He really wants you to know what's available. He really wants you to know how to receive, which is by believing, and he wants you to know what to do with the things once you've received them. Okay, so we're going to have another look at examples of this. It's important to see from God's word what we do after we have received what's available from God. So I want you to go to the book of Luke, another wonderful record in the book of Luke here. So I pray that you've been encouraged so far, and there's some more to go, and you'll see what we're saying. So it says in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," the Lord Jesus Christ, "as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourself unto the priest.' And it shall come to pass that as they and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God." See, Jesus Christ didn't even touch them; he just spoke to them. He gave them a commandment. Okay, under the law that if anyone got healed, they would have to go and show themselves to the priest. So they didn't even have the healing them. He just said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And when they obeyed his word, then the healings manifest. Just like when Jesus Christ said, "Bring me the pots of water and go and serve it." It was water when they went to serve it, but when they poured it, it was wine. Because they obeyed the word. They didn't look at any evidence. Jesus Christ gave them instruction what to do. They followed it out, and the power and glory of God manifested it from that. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God," verse 16, "and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" See, it was the faith of this leper and those lepers that made them whole. They knew what was available. They knew that Jesus could heal them. Okay, and they knew to receive what was available, they had to believe. And the word for them to believe was, "Go and show thyself to the priest." And as they acted on that word, even as they went, they were cleansed. So when they went before the priest, they could show themselves clean, and then they could come back into the city. So it's just really wonderful to see this. So they knew what was available. The lepers knew Jesus could heal them. They made a decision to believe after knowing what was available from God through Jesus. So they came to Jesus, right? Very simple. They recognized that they had a need for it, and they desired strongly for the need to be fulfilled. If you've got a need, then you know God can heal you, because I've just told you, and I've just shown you from the Word of God that God can heal you right now. God can set you free. God can provide for you. So if you've got a need right now, you need to know where to go. You go to God. Okay, and then you strongly desire. That's what you need to do. You need to strongly desire, knowing that God's ability equals his willingness. And they did not focus on their circumstances. They didn't say, "Well, we can't go and show ourselves to the priest. We've got all this leprosy." They just received the word with faith on Jesus' authority. Okay, and then they went and they got healed. So it's just really a great record to have a look at. So what to do after we receive what is available from God? Nine of them went to show themselves to the priest, but one of them returned to Jesus and gave glory to God. We should always give thanks. If someone's done you something good, what do? You say thank you. If God has healed you, if God has delivered you, you rejoice. You give glory to God for his goodness, for his love for your life, and for his healing, for his deliverance, and for his direction. I mean, man, we should even be thankful for the teachings that we receive, which connect us to God, which build our faith. We should give glory to God for whoever teaches the word of God, forever ministers, because they do a service unto God to you. And it's just really wonderful. So, you know, thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God that we are in partnership with God, that we can know these things, that we don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant of what's available. We don't have to be ignorant of how to receive what God has given us. Okay, and we don't have to be ignorant of what to do with it once we've received. There's a proper response to everything. And God shows us in his word. And as we grow in faith, as we grow in relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, then these things be automatic in our heart, because we know that God is faithful. Let's have a look at another record in Mark chapter 10. So in Mark chapter 10, we read in verse 46, and it says this: And they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. When you've been in need, you must have cried out at some time to God. And if you haven't, now's the time to do it. Cry out to God. Cry out to Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Many people need mercy today. Many people need God's grace today. And thank God that we've received it. God's grace is his favor to you. And God's mercy is that he doesn't give you what you deserve. Because God is a God of love, and God is a God of compassion. And he really loves you, and he really is for you. And in verse 48 it says, And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They were telling him to be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't worried about what the people were saying to him, because his need was great. And he wanted that need met, and he knew that Jesus could meet it. He heard of Jesus' healings. He's probably heard of people's testimonies. And his faith was ready to receive from God. And see, this word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or the words from God. And God is getting you ready to receive your miracle. If you need a miracle, you're going to get it. And we're showing you how, from the scriptures, the principles that are applied to receive those things from God. Because God loves you, and he's for you. And if you mean business with him, okay, God means business with you. This is not for the half-hearted, not for the ones that want to flirt with the world and do their own thing and then come to God for forgiveness or encouragement when things go wrong. God wants you there 100%. He's given 100% to you. Now he says, give me 100% back and I'll bless your life like you've never known it could be blessed. And God will open great doors. He'll give you great vision. He'll give you great direction. And in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. See, this guy got Jesus Christ's attention. And Jesus called him, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. That's what the people said to him. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will that I should do unto thee? Okay, if you was to go to God now, what would he say to you? And what would your reply be? If he asked you what you wanted, what would you say? Would you be too afraid to ask? God wants you to freely go to him and freely ask him. This is just so important. He wants you, whatever it is in your heart, ask him. And he'll do it for you. And you receive it by faith. Okay, because God is a good God. And he loves you dearly. Okay, and Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I should do unto thee? the blind man, this was his request, said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He wanted to see. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Did he touch him? Did he lay his hands on him? Did he even pray for him? No. He said, go thy way. Thy believing have made thee whole. It was his faith that made him whole. Like I taught in my last teaching, the woman with the issue of blood, it was her faith that made her whole. Her faith activated the power of God in Jesus Christ when she touched the hem of his garment. It says virtue come out of him. That virtue is the Greek word dunamis for power. So her faith activated the power of God in Christ that was dwelling in Christ. When you go to a minister or another believer, your faith can also activate the power of God in them for you to receive what you need. And you can also minister to yourself. Man, this is an exciting word of God. We've got to get excited about the things of God. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't worry about what you're even feeling. Feelings don't come into to believing. Feelings can affect your believing and bring your faith low. So you've got to, you know, really know what the Word of God says. It's not about how you feel. Don't be moved by your feelings, but be moved by faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So the blind man knew what was available. He knew how to receive, which was to have faith. He decided to receive it after knowing what was available. Now you know what's available. You're going to decide to receive, which is by believing, your faith. Okay? He recognized his great need, and also he had a great desire to be healed. What's your desire? Your desire will either take you higher or lower. If you have no desire, you ain't going nowhere. But if you've got desire to learn, if you've got desire to be set free, God's going to give you that deliverance if you go to him. He did not focus on the circumstances, but on God's ability and a willingness. Remember, God's ability equals his willingness. So that he was fully persuaded that God was able and willing to bring to pass this healing. And after receiving this healing, he followed Jesus in the way. So once you get your deliverance, once you get your need met, your response should be, what to do is to follow the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If God has healed you, if God has delivered you, then your response should be to live unto him. And then God says, there's many benefits in my word. You go and find those benefits. You go and find those promises. Do those things that I show you to do from the seven church epistles. If we do those things, then you're going to have benefit. You're going to have blessing. You're going to be a blessing. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. It's not about just the receiving. It's more about what we can give. And you've got to have something to give. And God's given you Holy Spirit, and you can give that. You can manifest that. Okay? And whatever resources, honor God with your resources. Let him bless you even more mightily. Okay? It's not about the money. It's about making sure the needs are met, that there's a quality in the body of Christ. It's not just about building your ministry so you've got loads of money and paying your church bills. Just have a home fellowship. Keep it simple. You don't need a big building. Just have a home fellowship. Okay, that's what they've done. The early church moved from house to house. Okay, now, if the things grow, you can get one of them. But then just make the fellowship smaller. Keep it simple. Keep the things simple. Don't complicate what God has made simple. Religion complicates things. Religion says you've got to have a big church building. Religion says you just got to give in your own country. No. Wherever a believer is, they are the one body of Christ. Why don't you give someone a ring and bless them? I'm sure people love to hear from you. Even if you live in Timbuktu and I live in UK, give us a call. Love to hear from you. It's through the giving. Your giving, you'll receive. And when you do it unto God, to bless God's people and to bless those that are sat in darkness, you're going to be rewarded so greatly. Your fellowship is going to be mighty with God. It's all about our relationship with God. when you've got a relationship with God, you'll start to see the real need. And it's not about fulfilling your own desire with the ministry. If you're in ministry right now and you want this and you want that and you haven't got this and you haven't got that, and you're focusing why, and then you're ignoring other people because of these things, that's wrong. Alright, God is your sufficiency. He shall supply all your needs. Stop relying on your ability, your wisdom, your understanding. And sometimes we can even have our own standing on the scriptures. But let the Spirit of God enlighten you. It's faith is how you receive. Right, if God can provide you with health, if God can provide you with finances, He can provide you with people for that ministry to go to help you in your field. See, the laborers are still few today. And people come when everything's rosy, but when things get going tough, it separates the man from the boys. Are you a real believer? You stick in there, baby, because God's with you and He loves you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God says if you believe in your heart, if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll have eternal life. But that's just the beginning. God wants you to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all man to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You need to go where you can learn what God wants you to learn. And what you can learn is written here in the Holy Scriptures. Okay? In this book contains the Holy Scriptures. And when you got the Spirit of God, then you can start to understand this Word of God. You can't just understand it with your intellect. Alright, but it's the Spirit of God that opens up the truth of these words to you. And God wants you to go where you can be fed, where you can be blessed, where you can be encouraged daily. Listen, there's sometimes I've been on my own, but I'm encouraged every day because I got a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And I go to His Word and God opens His Word to me. And then I can be surrounded with people and also get blessed. I can be by myself and be blessed because God keeps me hot because I got that Holy Spirit within me. And I know who I am in Christ. And God wants you to know who you are in Christ so you can walk in power and you can walk in authority. So anyway, this is the fellowship for today. I really felt strongly to share these things with you. And I pray it encourages you. I pray it gets you to act upon the Word. You need to receive, not only receive the Word, you need to act upon it. God wants you to apply what He's given you. He wants you to take Him at His Word. Take God at His Word today. Believe and receive. Find out what's available. Receive it by faith and then utilize what you've received. And then God will multiply it back to you. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week until next week. God bless you.